Coleman Domingo is my co-host in this show, and we are taking you to springtime in New York. That's right. Coleman tells us all the things that are the best that are going on in New York City for the spring, as well as a Madonna sighting, Queen Madge. And Gary Coleman, is he on a new reality show, or is that crazy reality his life? My guest today is Mark Nadler in his pre-Broadway engagement in a show called Russian on the Side that I got to catch here in Chicago. He is a tour de force. And I take you to Memphis, Tennessee, my home. Well, kind of my home. And guess what? I take you to Graceland, and I'm taking Kelly, too, my girlfriend, for her first trip to Memphis, Tennessee. Plus, I got to tell you about a website that you cannot believe. It will have you laughing and gagging all at the same time. And is Mariah finally having that meltdown, or is she melting into the stratosphere in a major, major way? I have no clue what's going on with the lady, but Coleman's got some ideas. This is going to be some fun.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming.
American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
To the Windy City Queer Cast show number 206. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Coleman Domingo from New York City.
Yes, you are, baby. Hey.
Yeah, baby. What's up? What's up, y'all?
How's New York?
New York is good. Weather's beautiful today. It's like spring, but allergies are kicking my fucking ass right now.
Yeah. Everything's a bloom here, too.
Yeah, I'm sure it's like full bloom right now, but it's like a big old 1-2-3 punch right now. It's like severe allergy season, but I'm doing good.
What's your favorite thing about New York once the weather starts getting good?
Oh my God, when the weather starts getting good in New York, everyone just gets out of their clothes, and it's all these beautiful bodies walking around town, and everyone's showing skin all of a sudden. You're seeing what people have been doing in the gym all winter long.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think people just look so happy. And, you know, for New York, that's a major feat. People just look really, really happy. And they're glowing, and people are saying hello to you. And, you know, even the guy who's probably jacking off in the subway, he's, like, friendlier to you. You know, it's just a really nice time in New York.
Oh, are you a gym person? Are you in the gym, like, because you're a big Broadway actor. People may know that you're not only on the Big Gay Sketch show on Logo, right, but you're also starring on Broadway right now.
Yeah.
Your life is abundant.
Broadway. Yeah, it's abundant. And the good thing about it is, like, I have this discipline where I do get into the gym probably, like, at least 5 times a week, because I can just go there. It's right down the street from my theater. By the way, it's called Passing Strange. You can come see Passing Strange. Go to Passing Strange on Broadway.com. Anyway, but, yeah, so I go to the gym. I usually, like, an hour before the show, and I just get a nice workout in, or I stretch, or just meditate even, or even just have a dance workout, whatever I'm in the mood for that day. But, yeah, I become sort of a gym rat, yeah.
So somebody whose muscles I just covet
is Madonna. And her new CD came out. Girl is looking good after 50, let me tell you.
She is looking unbelievable. It's like, it's so unbelievable to me. It's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
She's got the body of like a 19-year-old gymnast.
Yeah. Is now, she 50?
No, I'm sorry. I think she is 50, isn't she? Isn't she like, or 49? She's 49. Ooh. She's 49 going on 50.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's when you lie about your age and it still catches up with you.
Yeah, exactly. You know, now that there's Wikipedia, you know, people will have your name. They'll have your age in a minute, you know?
So I hear there was a Madonna sighting this week.
Well, you know what? Madonna apparently just, like, she did this half hour concert at Roseland Ballroom. I didn't see her, but I had friends who, like, people camped out and things like that, and it was crazy. Apparently, she did this killer, major, like, mini show for, like, a half hour, and it was out of control. Fabulous.
What is Roseland?
The Roseland Ballroom is, like, in Midtown, and it's just, like, a ballroom with, you know, they have, like, you know, smaller, pared-down concerts, things like that, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a really cool, world-famous place, and it's just kind of cool that she did that, and it was, like, just a half hour long, free. Like, you know, you just have to line to get a ticket, apparently. You have to be one of the first people or something, or, like, win it on the radio or something like that.
God, can you imagine being in a ballroom concert with Madonna? That would just get my tits so hard I wouldn't know what to do.
I would have a mini stroke.
Yeah.
That's my reason for not going. No. But all I saw was like on TV of just her and Justin Timberlake dancing together.
Yeah.
And gyrating and whatnot. And it's like, wait a minute, she could be his mother.
Yeah.
Clearly. And she is really, they're just bumping and grinding, and she's just working out as if she's like 17. And it's kind of fabulous.
Yeah. You know, Madonna had her sexy years, and then she had some years where she seemed a little dirty to me. Like, I wouldn't have touched her with a body condom. And somehow now she's kind of sloughed it all off. And now
she became British. That's why.
Maybe that's it. And I really do like the older women, you know. I love the Helen Mirrens. Yeah. I'm very attracted to the older sect, the 45-plus sect, one would say. And and she's hitting a really good peak age for me. And she's kind of had a sloughing process that she's exfoliated kind of some of the skankiness that was starting to attach to her in the late 90s, I think.
She did. It was a good, clean wash. Yeah, because she was sluttier. She was a trashy hoe. Come on, let's be honest. She was a trashy hoe, right? And now she's like, you know, a pulled-up lady with a lady with experience.
Yeah, and some attitude to boot.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, she writes children's books and things like that. I mean, come on, she's pretty fantastic now.
Yeah, she's pretty, she's definitely like the quintessential MILF. Mother, yes. I'd like
oh,
to fuck.
Yeah, yes, 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 she's the MILF.
So you were telling me, because we were talking right before we came on the air, about Gary Coleman is getting divorced?
Dude. It was one of those moments. I was at home, just like laid out on the couch, which is what pretty much every Broadway actor does when they're not, you know, performing because they're so fucking tired. So I'm laying on the couch and I'm just channel surfing, watching some bullshit. And all of a sudden, I see Divorce Court starts and Gary Coleman walks out. And I was like, what the hell is going on? And then, you know, poor thing. I don't even want to talk bad about his wife, but that poor little homely girl, 21-year-old girl that he got married to, she was sitting there looking like she just wore something out of Dowdy McStrump's House of Bland. And, you know, he just looked ridiculous. And poor thing, apparently they don't have sex. And he's got all these issues. And he's got anger issues where he has tantrums and falls out on the floor like a baby crying. Meh. I mean, I know it sounds really ridiculous. But it just got worse. And I was watching it, and I felt so shocked and horrified, and I just had to turn away from it because I felt really bad for Gary Coleman. I just felt bad for myself. I don't even know why. I just felt bad for everybody. I felt bad for the world.
Speaking of feeling just dirty, because she looked like she was a refugee from the polygamist camp, the big polygamist camp.
She did.
Yeah, she looks like a refugee from them. It kind of scares me.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to be mean, but, like, what was with her gum line? I was like, what? why is her gums like that? Like that? Yep.
That's called inbreeding, hun. It's just, yeah. It's not good. I'm from the South. I see it every now and again.
you witness it so clearly. You know exactly what it was.
Close up. Oh, well, you
yeah,
know,
she, it was like that was just one big hot mess, but also it was a big hot mess just waiting to happen, you know.
Yeah.
Poor Gary Coleman. I felt so, I mean, it's like he just, I mean, the poor guy. I mean, just talk about one bad decision after the next.
Yeah.
And just always wanting to be in the public eye to do all your craziness.
Yeah. You got to hide that crazy shit behind doors.
My crazy shit is in a drawer, and I don't pull that shit out for nobody, you know? I'm definitely not going to just get paid some bullshit like $10,000 to do on TV.
Yeah.
That's bullshit.
That is totally crazy, crazy bullshit.
But I don't even think he got that. I think he got like a bus pass from divorce court. They probably gave him a bus pass and like, you know, a ham sandwich or some shit.
And the potential that he might be on another show where they lock D-list celebrities up in a house and...
I want to
watch
lock
them
D-list
like a
celebrities up in a house
cure.
And like set it on fire. That's the show I want to see.
Man, bless Gary Coleman. Okay, so we're not encouraging laughter towards Gary Coleman.
No.
However,
no.
Avenue Q is coming to Chicago. And if you want to laugh, yes, it's never been here. So if you want to laugh at Gary Coleman, I saw Avenue Q in Times Square in New York. And you can laugh at Gary Coleman there because it's allowed and it's encouraged. So that's what I encourage.
In a safe place, a safe environment.
It's a safe theatrical environment where it is Gary Coleman, but it's not really Gary Coleman. So it works.
But it is.
But it is. Hey, I am going to have Coleman with me the entire show as my co-host. Plus, I'm taking you to Memphis, Tennessee. That's right. I take my girlfriend Kelly to Memphis for the first time ever. We'll come back and see if Coleman's ever been in Memphis. And on today's show, in his pre-Broadway engagement, so it seems only fitting that I have a Broadway actor on our show today as co-host, Mark Nadler is here with Russian on the Side. We're going to be talking about his show in Chicago that is making its way in the fall to New York City. It's a big show, so we're going to top right now and go and tell you what's going on in the theater scene here in Chicago. We'll be back with Coleman Domingo after this.
Broadway's Tony-winning smash hit musical Avenue Q is for you.
If you've ever put out the garbage.
If you've ever put out.
If you're in the closet.
If your friend's in the closet.
If your coat's in the closet.
If you're in college.
If you wish you were back in college.
If you're a Democrat.
A Republican.
A Scientologist.
A gynecologist.
If you're a potty mouth.
If you're a potty animal.
If you want a Tony Award-winning Broadway musical with something for everyone.
Avenue Q is for you.
May 27th through June 7th at the Cadillac Palace Theater. Visit BroadwayInChicago.com. Hi there, I'm Proud FM's Deb Pierce, Toronto's official queer respondent. I'll be keeping you plugged into what's hot in Toronto this summer. Toronto's patio season is upon us, and that means Pride Week isn't that far away. Come join me and a million other people for Unified the week of June 20th to 29th. It promises to be one of the best prides ever, with headliner Sandra Bernhard and Spice Girl Melanie C already confirmed to perform. Look for me in Chicago on Friday, June 13th at Gay Idol at Circuit Nightclub. Visit www.torontotourism.com to find out why you should be heading to Toronto this summer. Hope to see you soon.
Culture
Club.
Culture
Club.
Culture
Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get
some culture
in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of May 5th, 2008, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Hell in a Handbag Productions proudly presents the Jeff-nominated Chicago premiere of the camptacular Die, Mommy, Die, a tale of glamour, murder, and the importance of family by Charles Bush. Playing now at the Bailiwick Theater, 1229 West Belmont. Windy City Times says it's pure camp heaven. So go to handbagproductions.org for tickets.
American Theater Company presents Speech and Debate, the story of three high school misfits who team up to expose their teachers' online secrets by forming their school's first Speech and Debate Club. This timely comedy is Ugly Betty Meets Election, exploring queer life in high school and hypocrisy in public life. The Tribune says it is exceptionally stimulating and word perfect about teens. Playing through May 18th, for tickets to Speech and Debate, visit atcweb.org.
Looking Glass Theater Company presents Around the World in 80 Days. This world premiere adventure follows Phileas Fogg as he races around the globe to save his fortune. Looking Glass Theater is in the historic Water Tower Works on Michigan Avenue. For tickets to Around the World in 80 Days, visit lookingglasstheater.org.
Laughter is truly the best medicine when Julian moves in with his ex-wife and her new husband to recuperate from an illness in the world premiere of Better Late. This new comedy from the writer of MASH and the creator of ABC's Dirty Sexy Money plays at Northlight Theater extended through May 18th with an all-star cast, including John Mahoney and Mike Nussbaum. For tickets for Better Late, visit northlight.org.
For more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Professional Figure Skater.
Mr. Professional Figure Skater.
While lesser men strapped on skates and played hockey, you don skin-tight leotards and a teeny cowboy hat and learned figure eights.
Going round and round.
You practiced and practiced, hoping, knowing, someday, you'd be good enough to wear a giant puppet costume and skate in an ice show.
Welcome to the big time.
Skate perfectly and you're a crowd pleaser. Mess up and fall on your butt, and you're still a crowd pleaser. So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, oh Titan of the Tights. You may never wear a medal, but sequins are shiny, too.
Mr. Professional Figure Skater.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
And we're back with Coleman Domingo on the Queercast today.
What's
Coleman,
up?
Have you ever been to Memphis?
I've never been to Memphis.
You are a boy who is from Philly and a lover of Detroit, and you have never been to Memphis, Tennessee?
I know. The closest I've been to Memphis, Tennessee is that song that Karen Black sings in Nashville. Well, I like to go to Memphis, but I don't know the way. Well, that's just like me. I don't know the way. Yeah.
Well, you know the way now. I'm going to take you. And now my girlfriend Kelly, who also is a very good friend of yours, she'll take you because we did it up, Coleman. I mean,
oh man, yeah.
We did it big.
I just hope there was some barbecue involved.
There was barbecue. There was chicken and dumplings. There was biscuits. There was, what other sundry things did we eat? I mean, you know, usually it's things on a stick, you know, if you're outdoors.
You just eat. Was it an eating trip? You just eat.
Yeah. My friends all told Kelly, who is 6'1 and about 140 wet, they said, you're going to be heavier when you leave here. And I said, from your mouth to God's ears, because the complex is too much for me, you know, that she gives me. But no, it was awesome. I didn't realize Kelly was such a big Elvis fan.
Oh yeah, that's where Graceland is, right?
It is, and we are taking all of you listening to Graceland today and to the Civil Rights Museum, which was extremely emotional. Kelly literally, before she entered the building, just started crying, and I hope she doesn't mind me telling people that, but just looking at the Lorraine Motel is a very emotional thing, and it's been a part of my life for, you know, the past, 20 years. But for somebody who'd never seen it, really, really overwhelming to her. She was very moved. And we did go to Graceland, and she bought some Elvis tchotchkes, which I let her bring home. Yes. Nothing in black velvet.
Is it sitting on, like, your mantle or something now? Like, what did you guys get?
Well, we got an ornament, because we felt like that was nice, of the Graceland gates. And we got Elvis playing cards, because we play a lot of poker. And these are the cards with him in the gold suit. And then as you flip them over, it's a different Elvis on, you know, on the side that shows you what the card is, the side you're reading.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And then we got postcards and some posters and no t-shirts, no bumper stickers, No.
I went to Memphis and all I got was this stupid T-shirt. None of those.
Yeah. That's right. None of those. But it was cool because we were leaving Graceland, and you'll hear this, and we went into some gift shops, and Priscilla Presley was going to be there that night for a big event. So we missed her by like an hour.
Wow.
Yeah.
Though, cool.
I did show Kelly the school where when she was Elvis's child bride, he let her finish high school. And
Yeah. Wow, I didn't know that.
It's called Immaculate Conception for Girls. Is that the most horrific, hilarious sexual name ever? And
wow.
And yeah, I used to live really close to it. And my first girlfriend and I used to say we'd just sit outside and watch the little girls get out of school from Immaculate Conception. Mm-hmm. Too bad I like them older. Doesn't really work for me.
Yes.
But can I tell you, I have to ask you this question.
Yeah.
When I was in Memphis, we were staying with friends. These a couple of gay guys, friends of mine, Randy and Todd. Right. And
Randy and Todd?
Randy
no,
and Todd.
Really?
Yeah, they're like the
Randy
two guys from
Come
Best
on.
In Show. They're exactly
like the perfect gay couple name. You kidding?
Are you
Randy
kidding me?
And Todd.
Well, no, it's they're so totally. We call them Sissy Daddy and the Delta Queen because they are like they are exactly like the couple in Best in Show. One is a little older than the other. Sissy Daddy is kind of the daddy. He likes sports, and Delta Queen is like Liza Surprised. I mean, Todd is flamboyant and. He's like the guy in Best in Show that's showing off the shih tzus. So anyhow,
I love them so much already. Okay.
Oh, they're so fabulous. So we're in their house, but Randy and I ended up staying late every night. And we had heard, having dinner with a bunch of people, about this new website called Two Girls, One Cup. Have you heard of this thing?
No.
Okay. I feel like I'm talking a lot, but I have to tell you about this.
Tell me about it. Yeah.
Okay. Two Girls, One Cup. If you go on YouTube, and all of you listening, if you're savvy, maybe you know about this, but I just discovered it, and I laughed so much this weekend. I had tears streaming down my face, and my stomach felt like I'd done abdominals. So,
oh my God.
You go to Two Girls, One Cup, and you have to use the number 2 and the number 1. Two Girls, One Cup. And obviously what happened was people sent this website to tons of people and told their friends, you must record yourself. I dare you to record yourself watching this video. So what's posted on YouTube is tons of different people in these little 1.5 minutes. That's how long the video is. And then you can hear the music with the people watching the video and the little camera that's on their, you know, laptop or on their computer.
See, I'm online right now looking at it, and it's only the reactions.
That is what
is that right?
You're watching. You're watching people's reactions, supposedly to watching the most disgusting video ever made. And I don't want to tell you what happens in this video, but if you watch enough of these reactions, you can decipher what's happening. It involves feces and vomiting, and it begins in a very sexual way between two women. And you will literally see different people starting to watch
I'm watching
it.
One right now. I'm watching it right now, this one.
And then watching them, like, gag. Like, they're almost about to throw up. And there's two, I think the YouTube is, like, two flaming guys watching it, which is two African-American guys who are cracking
up. Oh, my God. I'm sorry. Oh, my God. I'm actually watching what?
Are you watching it? It's the most insane fucking thing ever because people are dry heaving and you can't act this shit. And we sat watching reactions for
Oh my God. I'm really? I'm sorry. Oh my God. And this woman says, I can't.
Yeah.
And then she's looking again. Oh my God. Oh my God. She's Oh my God. Oh my God. Okay, I gotta stop.
I'm telling you, it is the funny. They even have Kermit the Frog doing it. They have Kermit the Frog. Guys from high school. They have one of the guys from Opie and Anthony's show, and they also have what's his name? The big porn star. Oh, I can't think of his name. The big porn producer. I can't remember his name.
I just straight peed porn. A little. I think I just just feed a little Amy.
I'm telling you, you will get so addicted you'll watch these reactions because you'll start knowing where the music is playing in the background, where they're about to get, and how they're going to react. It is the funniest fucking thing I've ever watched. I can't bring myself to watch the actual video, which you can watch. I can't watch
it. Oh, my God. It seemed like the reactions are probably even better.
Oh, they're so much better. And you know what's hilarious? The guy that was the host on Fear Factor, he's a very funny one. I can't remember his name. But he says, look, I've seen everything. I've seen people eating diarrhea. I've seen people eating live bugs and animals. I've seen people, you know, do all kinds of crazy shit. And his reaction is priceless. He even says to the camera, the guy videoing him, says, I'm such a pussy. I even had to look away. So it is, I encourage you, especially if you like base, you don't even have to like base humor because you're just watching people's reactions. But it's the funniest freaking thing ever. I discovered that in Memphis, so that's why that belongs here. Because it's a part of my trip to Memphis. Because I've already been to Graceland. So I just laughed my ass off with this two girls, one cup late at night. Every night I was home.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I fully support it. It's fantastic. I mean, I'm sure it made Memphis a fantastic... You probably have such a joy in your heart when you think of Memphis because you discovered it there.
I mean, it's hilarious.
If you laugh like that there, oh, my God.
You're gonna go watch these now.
I'm gonna watch this for the rest of the evening, all night long.
And then you're going to tell two friends and so on, because it is
so
hilarious.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to... what are we going to do now? We are going to go tell you what's going on in the news. Coleman and I are going to have to talk about the news because Miss EMC Squared is in the news. And after the news, we're going to bring you Mark Nadler, Russian on the side, and then we'll be back.
The Mississippi Delta was shining like a national guitar. I am following the river down the highway through the cradle of the Civil War. I'm going to Graceland, Graceland, Memphis, Tennessee. I'm going to Graceland.
I used to call Memphis, Tennessee home. Actually, I still call Memphis, Tennessee home. Many friends live there, many great memories, and an energy of a city that I just truly, truly connect with. In the next 10 minutes or so, I'm going to take you to Memphis as I took my partner Kelly for the very first time. It's an amazing city. I highly recommend you travel to Memphis. You will not be sorry. From the people to the culture, to the food, to the music, there is so much to love. My first stop is to the Civil Rights Museum in downtown Memphis. Then we're heading to Graceland. That's right, Graceland, Memphis, Tennessee. And Kelly's a big Graceland fan, so I hope she likes it, and I hope you do too.
I was walking with my feet 10 feet off a beer, walking in Memphis.
I am standing downtown in downtown Memphis, Tennessee on Main Street, right across from the Civil Rights Museum, which is the Lorraine Motel where Martin Luther King Jr. Spent his last days and also was shot and killed April of 1968. And as you might hear in the background, the streetcars now line the streets, the electric cars, rail cars, and lots of little shops have picked up all around this Main Street area, coffee shops and clothing stores, and downtown living is starting to really abound here in Memphis, Tennessee. It's been an amazing trip, and we're off to Graceland next, and tonight, sitting down and eating some chicken and dumplings, so... It's a very sunny, beautiful day in downtown Memphis. This is a great weekend trip for those of you who live in the Chicagoland area. Very easy to get to, right down the Mississippi, and lots to do. Lots of music right off of Beale Street, which we walked on this morning, which is a music capital. I guess if there's a music capital outside of Nashville, it'd probably be Memphis, and the sounds of the blues and jazz of Beale Street. And just down the street from the Lorraine Motel and the Civil Rights Museum is the old Arcade Restaurant, which is a very old famous diner. If you saw The Firm, it's where he meets to start finding out about what some of the shenanigans that are going on at that law firm. That is the Arcade Restaurant, very famous. But the Mississippi River is now pretty much the backdrop for most of the architecture that's being built in the west side of Memphis. You would not believe it, but there is still much land to be built and homes to be built on along the Mississippi River, some of the most gorgeous architecture you can imagine. So we'll be back. There's more to tell you about Memphis.
Step into my heart. Leave your cares behind. Welcome to our world. Built with you in mind.
So Kelly and I are standing next to the Lisa Marie Jett.
Woo!
On the grounds of Graceland.
I'm so excited.
Kelly is a huge Elvis fan.
Yes, I am.
What did you love about Elvis?
Everything. Everything. His look, his hair, the way he moved, the way he sang, him being from the South, him loving his mom and daddy. Everything. I just thought he was one of the sexiest men I've ever seen.
Well, we are here taking Kelly to her dream come true, which is to go.
I love his eccentricities.
Okay. You're getting crazy now.
I am. I'm getting a little jittery.
So we're standing here. This is the Lisa Marie airplane tour, which you can do, which we're probably not going to do because it's late and on still this beautiful afternoon. But we are going to go through the famous Graceland Mansion, which I've been through, but it's been many, many years. And we're going to get our tickets, and Kelly's going to try to contain herself. But if you come to Memphis, it's kind of a thing you have to do. You have to go to Graceland. And
Paul Simon tells everyone to go to Graceland, Memphis,
yeah,
Tennessee.
That's right.
I'm going to Graceland.
And you can hear the sounds of Elvis Presley, like, absolutely everywhere. And so we're going to get our tickets. We're probably going to turn this off for just a few minutes, but we'll definitely give you our impressions as we roll along. Oh, see, are you hearing the wafting music as we're going? It's just Elvis everywhere. Now, the house is very small. The grounds are very big, so this is what Kelly's going to get to experience. So more to come, I think, as we enter the inner sanctum.
They're going to have a gift shop, aren't they?
They are, Kelly. You're going to buy a lot of gifts.
Wow. That is... Wow.
She's excited. Really, she's all shook up.
Knock, and the door shall be open. Seek, and you will find. Ask, and you will be given the key.
And we are leaving Graceland. The audio recorder can finally come on. Impressions, Kelly Simpkins.
We have officially been taking care of business.
Elvis has left the building.
Lightning bolt.
Kelly and Amy have left the Graceland. So was it good? Did you like it?
It was really good. I wanted to go upstairs, though.
They won't let you go upstairs.
They won't let me go upstairs. And I wanted to know if they would, if I just made a break for it and cut through the rope,
yeah,
and just made a mad dash,
yeah,
on the carpet, if they would have tackled me on the first flight or if I'd have made it to the landing.
I'd have tackled them if they'd have tackled you.
Really?
Yeah.
We could have done a tag team?
We could have.
Why didn't we decide that before we actually went
in
there?
I don't know. You were a bit mesmerized by all the Elvis jumpsuits, and I was pretty mesmerized by all the gold records.
I loved it all. I've seen so many pictures of the inside and so many pictures of him driving up that driveway and in the pool and with the horses and outside on the property and all the acreage, and just to be in there was, I'm sure a lot of people feel that way, but just to be inside the home that he walked into and lived in was pretty weird.
Yeah.
And cool.
Jungle
and weird.
Room. Jungle room.
Really bad taste, Elvy.
Yeah.
Elvy.
He got along with the black people of Memphis, though. You know, he, like, really, you could tell that he's a soulful brother for a white guy from Tupelo, Mississippi, right?
Yeah, I love that. That's one of the reasons I loved him so much.
And did you think it was bigger than you thought it was going to be? Smaller than you thought it was going to be?
Smaller.
Yeah.
But I thought we would take the whole upstairs
tour. You're really upset about this upstairs thing.
I wanted to see the bedroom. I don't know why.
really? I don't think he was having lots of sex in the end, but you liked the older Elvis. See, I like the GI.
I didn't like the fat, bloated, like, couldn't remember the lyrics Elvis. I liked the Vegas Elvis.
Early Vegas Elvis.
Early Vegas Elvis.
Before he started all the methamphetamines. And
well, he was still doing that, I'm sure, but it hadn't progressed to the state that killed him. And I like the young Elvis. I like the Army Elvis and the newly starting out Elvis, but I love the jumpsuit and the tinted glasses and the karate suits and the big rings and the big belt buckles.
Those belt buckles were huge.
They were bigger in person.
8-inch wide by 4.5 inches tall, I would say. They were huge.
They were huge.
They were really big. They held his
Maybe
gut
he
in
felt
until...
insecure.
I don't
he
know.
He wanted to hang on to that big honkaroo.
You noticed that he didn't have very long arms.
He had very short sleeves on his long sleeve shirts.
Yeah.
And very high water pants.
Well, that was just how they had them on the little models, I think.
No, they had pictures of him in there, and he wore them kind of high. Because he had those boots on.
Yeah.
He was much littler. Much smaller.
There
God,
you
I
go.
Can't speak.
You're so excited.
Much littler.
You can get a little lost. Priscilla Presley's going to be here tonight, we heard through the rumor. We're the last to come out of Graceland today. We saw a Marilyn.
No, there was one straggler behind us.
She was in the meditation garden
she
in
was.
Front of the grave. She was
I think
having
she
a
was
moment.
Having an emotional moment.
She was having an emotional moment. But we did
I
see.
I think she was having an emotional moment at Vernon or Gladys's gravestone.
Yeah, because he's buried with his parents and his grandmother, Minnie, and his twin brother, which I don't know that I really thought much or knew.
I
probably
knew it,
did
but I
know,
forgotten
but
it.
Yeah, that he had a twin brother who's not buried here, who is buried back in Tupelo, Mississippi, where his home is. But yeah, he was kind of the great metrosexual. Those outfits were pretty flashy. He was really stylish. Great hair.
Oh, he had great
fashion.
And
hair care products and cars.
Oh, yeah.
He was quite the metrosexual,
he was
right?
Externally, I don't know if I'd call him a metrosexual.
I mean, he was a metrosexual before there was a metrosexual.
He was just Elvis.
Well, and on that note, we're going back to have chicken and dumplings tonight, so we've got to... We got to head on I-55 north, heading back into Memphis.
If Amy doesn't get lost.
Which may happen.
She got lost on the way out here, but we found
it. If the podcast ends here, you'll know that we got lost
oh,
in Memphis.
No. I'll carry on, baby.
You carry
I'll
on.
I'll carry on if I live.
All right, good.
Saw the ghost of Elvis on Union Avenue. Followed him up to the gates of Graceland. And I watched him walk right through. Now security, they did not see him. They just hovered around his tomb. But there's a pretty little thing waiting for the king down in the jungle room. When I was walking in Memphis, I was walking with my feet 10 feet off a beam. Walking in Memphis.
Hi, this is Valerie Smaldone, and I'm backstage at the Royal George Theater watching the multi-talented Mark Nadler and his new show, Russian on the Side, a zany 90-minute song and dance journey. It's a laugh-out-loud night at the theater. Don't miss the performer Rex Reed calls a combination of Danny Kaye and all the Marx Brothers put together, Russian on the Side, the pre-Broadway engagement April 22nd through June 15th only at the Royal George Theater. Tickets available at all Ticketmaster outlets, online at Ticketmaster.com, or by phone at 312-902-1500. Call now!
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News. North Carolina Governor Mike Easley received some minor heat from GLBT organizations when endorsing presidential candidate Hillary Clinton. Easley said Clinton makes Rocky Balboa look like a pansy. GLAAD said the word pansy is a demeaning and degrading reference to gay men. HRC expressed its disappointment, saying, "We certainly wish the governor would have chosen his words better." Clinton also received criticism for not immediately addressing Easley's use of the word.
A man has been charged in the murder of a Florida gay activist. Ricardo David Fuentes Valle, age 20, was arrested and charged with the first-degree murder of gay rights activist Scott Graham. Graham was found stabbed to death in his home on April 16th. Local police are still investigating the motive and say that Graham knew Fuentes Valle. Graham helped found the Palm Beach Human Rights Council in the 80s.
The Human Rights Campaign's U.S. Senate candidate endorsement list omits openly gay North Carolina Democratic candidate Jim Neal, who is running for Elizabeth Dole's seat. Neal, who will run against State Senator Kay Hagan in the May 6 primary, responded, "Maybe I'm not gay enough," when asked about the lack of support from HRC. While Neil has been open about his sexuality and position on gay rights issues, Hagen has kept quiet about where she stands. HRC's move has received heat from many, including columnist Dan Savage, who called HRC endorsement for Neil a no-brainer.
At the 2008 General Conference, United Methodists voted against changing its position on homosexuality. The denomination's highest governing body voted to keep the United Methodist Church's statement that homosexuality is incompatible with Christian teaching. Delegates also rejected a measure to change the church's definition of marriage to include same-sex unions. However, delegates approved a resolution opposing homophobia.
Disney canceled Miley Cyrus's first public appearance at the Disney Channel Games party since the Vanity Fair photo shoot controversy. Disney is apparently peeved at the backlash created by the 15-year-old Hannah Montana star's back-bearing Vanity Fair photo shoot by lesbian Annie Leibovitz. The magazine says her parents were present for the entire shoot. Cyrus has publicly stated that she is embarrassed by the magazine's photos and article.
Nicole Kidman will play the role of Dusty Springfield in a new biopic about the 60s British singer's life. The film will touch on many aspects of the soul singer's life, including her battle with alcohol and drug abuse and her affairs with women. The screenplay was written by Michael Cunningham, who worked with Kidman in The Hours.
Multi-platinum diva Mariah Carey and Nick Cannon have apparently tied the knot. A member of Cannon's family said that they received a call from him confirming the news. Some say the couple had a spur-of-the-moment ceremony in Carey's Bahamas home. However, nothing is confirmed yet. Cannon, a musician and actor in Drumline, recently appeared in Mimi's Bye Bye video for her new album, EMC Squared. And that's the Weekend News, brought to you by Windy City Times.
This is Katie Curtis, and you're listening to Windy City Queercast.
Only my eyes are the same.
Do you ever feel like you're on a one-sided relationship? That your boyfriend or your girlfriend just doesn't communicate with you in the way that you'd like? Well, bitches, I want you to post a comment. Post a comment. Go to any show. It's so easy. Go to our website, WindyCityQueercast.com, and let me know what you think. Talk to me, babies. I want to hear from you. Go to WindyCityQueercast.com, post a comment. I promise I'll get back to you.
There once was an ugly duckling with feathers all stubby and brown, and the other birds in so many words said, "Meh, get out of town. Meh, get out, meh, meh, get out, meh, meh. Get out of town." And he went with a and a waddle and a and a flurry of eiderdown. That poor little ugly duckling, when wandering far and near, and in every place, they said to his face, "Now, get out of here. Get out, get out, get out of here."
Well, that voice, it's Mark Nadler, and he's in town for a pre-Broadway engagement of his show, Russian on the Side, through June 15th at the Royal George Theater. Now, Tommy Tune has called Mark Nadler a consummate showman, and the New York Times has said he is a comic spark plug touched with brilliance. He's been compared to Danny Kaye and all the Marx Brothers rolled into one. And when you perform in small cabarets in New York, to Scotland, France, Australia, coming back to New York's Carnegie Hall. How exciting that now he comes to Chicago with what's being called a zany 90-minute one-man comedy in music show. I'm tired
all
just reading
hyphens.
Your intro.
All with hyphens.
All with hyphens. A one-man-comedy-in-music. Boy, I'm exhausted just reading about who you are. You must be
I'm exhausted
tired.
About hearing it. Haven't we been through enough? Now let's end this interview right now.
Man, it really sets you up to be a spark plug. I'm excited by that. That's very nice from the New York Times, because they rarely get excited about much, do they?
That's true. That's true. No, I have no complaints about the way I've been treated by the press.
No,
it's been very good to me around the world.
Well,
but people like to laugh. You know, people love to laugh, and they love good songs. And so what I make a point of doing is making sure that people get good songs and that they get plenty of yucks. And that's my job, and that's what I do.
Well, we've kind of lost, I think, in many ways, the great showman entertainer. I mean, so many people just want to be a star on a reality moment, or it's a flash in the pan. But this skill to truly be a consummate showman, you must have had some really strong early influences. Who were those?
You know, I got to be perfectly honest with you. I really am not aware of who my influences were because I started performing when I was 5.
Wow.
So I would say, and this is just going to sound ridiculous, but I would say my biggest influence is probably Bugs Bunny.
Well, the consummate showman,
you know, when you watch Bugs Bunny play the piano, that was one of the best things I ever saw. And when I play the piano, I try to be as Bugs Bunny-like as possible. And when I went to, I come from Iowa, and not exactly a gay-friendly town. And I went away to high school. I went to the Interlochen Arts Academy in Michigan. Mm. And when I was there, I sort of bloomed and came into my own. And one of the reasons was because you were allowed to take dance instead of P.E.
Ah.
And so for once in my life, I wasn't the last one chosen. And I had already been performing at that point for 10 years in public. And I played the piano and sang at that time. And when I added dance into the mix, then I was able to tap dance and play the piano at the same time and you know, do all sorts of sort of contortion-like things while playing the piano.
Yeah.
And that sort of started to catch on, and that's where my career has gone.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned high school, because we just did a show all about the National Day of Silence that school kids were having to, you know, it's kind of a pacifist way of demonstrating that kids shouldn't be bullied in school and kids need to stop being harassed for being GLBT. And we were just discussing, myself and one of my co-hosts, that we couldn't even fathom that. Was there a mark on your head being kind of a tap dancing white kid in Iowa?
There was a mark on my head for so many reasons when I was in Iowa. I mean, first of all, I'm Jewish. And as I point out in the show, Iowa is our nation's pork state.
Yeah.
So that's not, already we're not off to a great start.
Right.
And then, of course, I was gay, and I was, you know, being gay, I was into show tunes, and I was making a big splash in my hometown. You know, nothing annoys other children more than when one kid is getting a lot of praise from the adults.
Yeah.
And there I was out there playing the piano, singing, entertaining all of their friends. And I had my first job when I was 10 years old in a saloon.
I love
and
that.
I was playing piano and singing in a place called the Long Straw Saloon.
Yeah.
And so I would see all of these kids' parents get drunk.
Oh, wow.
And the kids didn't like that either. I mean, there was just really nothing about me that they really liked very much. But I have a theory, and this is sort of a salient point that I make in Russian on the Side. I think that it's the fact that we're odd that makes other people pay attention to us as performers. If I were somebody who fit in, if I were somebody who was like everybody else, then why pay attention to me as a performer? And, you know, that's Russian on the Side is based on a song. It's a song by Ira Gershwin and Kurt Weill called Tchaikovsky and Other Russians, and it's the song that made Danny Kaye a star. And it's simply a list of 49 Slavic composers. And the premise of the show is that I'm teaching the audience how to memorize those 49 names so that at the end of the show they can sing the song with me. And the way to memorize them is to get to know each individual. And that's the whole point of the show. It's about the power of being an individual.
Yeah. Well, and the power of obviously what you're saying, too, is if you know someone, you remember them and you can't distance yourself from them.
And what makes you know them? I mean, what differentiates me, my atoms, from all of the atoms around me are the things that are different, not the things that are the same.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's something to celebrate and be joyous about, and there is a lot of good comedy in that.
I agree. And also, I think a statement that's pretty profound of, you know, you can't distance yourself. Many people might say, I don't know anything about those Russian composers, but you're going to be a bit of an educational tool to give people access to these composers. I mean, many people know Rodgers and Hammerstein or Gershwin.
I'm sorry?
I said many people probably feel familiar with Rodgers and Hammerstein or Gershwin, but you're bringing out a whole list of
yeah, but you
guys.
Know what, Amy? What a big part of this show is the connection between those Russian composers and Rodgers and Hammerstein and Gershwin. Rodgers and Hammerstein and Gershwin and Bernstein are a big part of the story that I'm telling in Russian on the Side. And the songs, all of the songs that I sing in this show are American songs, Rodgers and Hammerstein, Ira Gershwin, that's what the songs are. And they tie into these Russian composers because we're all part of a world, you know? It's not this little segment and that little segment, but it's all one.
Yeah, you're sounding a little Barack Obama, but that's okay because we push this out in Illinois.
Would you prefer that I sound like Hillary?
Well, I would, and the CareerCast listeners know that, but that's okay.
Well, then I'll say you know a lot.
as opposed to the two of them together, it's a funny rap. So,
the only Barack Obama thing that I will say is with regard to learning this song in 90 minutes of zany comedy, yes, we can.
Oh, well, there you go. I think we all will be able to sing all of their names by the end. I think I can.
He's pretty able.
Yeah. So tell me, what can we expect from this show? Are you going to be tearing up the keys and dancing all over the place? And,
yeah.
Is that what zany means to you?
You can expect the most unexpected things from a pianist that you've ever seen in your life, because that's what I do. I play the piano and I sing. I tap dance while I'm playing the piano. I am on the piano, under the piano, all over the stage. I'm a very physical performer. There's a lot of physical comedy in this. You know, that's why they compare me to people like Chico Marx and Victor Borge and stuff like that.
Yeah. Are you just exhausted? I mean, what kind of rest and prep do you have to do to put on a show like that? Because, I mean, you're at the Royal George. It's a nice big space. You're headed to Broadway. So you're really, you're in spring training, so to speak, for our baseball listeners.
Right.
You know, how do you keep yourself in shape for something like that?
Well, the truth is that's what I've always done. I mean, so I've been training for this now for over 40 years.
Yeah.
This is not new to my body to be doing this kind of physical activity. And the music, I really, really, really love these songs, and they give me a lot of energy.
Yeah.
And I tend to be a pretty high-energy person anyway. But for this run, I'm not drinking as much.
I was about to say, we are getting all a shot of vodka sometime in the middle of your show, right?
I'll tell you, if that's what it takes, I'm sure that the producers will be glad to arrange it. I'll tell you, they'll do anything.
It's like when Oprah has a moment in her show and she goes, reach under your chair. And at that moment, we'll all have a little shot of vodka.
This is a fabulous idea. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll arrange an IV drip. We'll have bottles of Stoli at each seat. How's that sound?
That sounds very nice.
Okay.
I'm sitting in the front row, and I hope there are some empty seats just next to me, not for your sake, but so I can kind of tap in.
So you can get the extra IV drip. That's great. That's great. We'll have the nurse sort of hook everybody up. That'll be great.
So tell me,
the ushers dressed in nurse costumes.
Oh, that would be good. I kind of like that. Now, tell me, as we're sitting here redirecting your show, you have an amazing team of fellas working with you on this.
Yes,
extraordinary director Mark Waldrop, who directed Betty Buckley and Gypsy, many people might know. And also
And Bette Midler's Millennium Tour, he directed.
Her Millennium Tour.
B. Arthur on Broadway, he wrote and directed the show When Pigs Fly. Do you know that show?
I love
Amazing
that show.
Great lyrics.
He's
a really clever guy. He's a really smart guy.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he's been wonderful to work with. Our set designer is David Korins, who is currently represented on Broadway by a show called Passing Strange. He's just a top-flight talent.
Well,
and our lighting designer is a Chicago man. Keith Parham. Very talented guy. He did a show called The Adding Machine that was a big hit here and is now playing in New York.
Yes. Well, you know, the funny thing about Passing Strange is one of our regular co-hosts is Coleman Domingo, who is in Passing Strange. So our listeners are familiar with that show.
All right. Well, there you go. David Korins did the set for that show and for this.
Well, and also your producer has quite a list of GLBT credits. One would think he was a lesbian because he's not only worked on The Hours, which is
right,
one of my
and Kissing
songs,
Jessica Stein,
but also Kissing Jessica Stein with our good friend Tova, who we got to know this past year when she was in town playing Katharine Hepburn.
Isn't she great? Yeah,
she's
I love Tova.
Lovely. I need to post my picture with Tova. I hosted the talk back with her and I love her. She's just delightful. Hey, tell me, one of my favorite people I read that you worked with was Hello Possums, Miss
Dame Edna.
Edna.
Yeah, Barry Humphries.
How is Edna?
Well, I haven't kept in touch with Barry since the show. I did that show, 2008? I did that show 8 years ago. But
when you were 18.
When I was 18, that's right. But I see him periodically. He seems to be perfectly fine. He's having a good time. He's getting up there in years, but he's still out there doing it, you know? God bless him. He's a pretty impressive guy.
Genius.
And look, I know women who aren't walking around in heels at his age.
Hey, back at you. I know women my age not walking around in heels.
And, I do too.
And political and angry about it. So you are moving Russian on the Side to Broadway. What are you hoping to accomplish here in Chicago? And what is the trajectory from, because we have listeners all around the world and around the U.S. What is the trajectory if they can't get to Chicago and see it? How do they,
The plan is to open on Broadway in the early fall.
Okay.
And I really can't tell you more than that because it all depends on theater availability. There is a theater that the producers have in mind, but there's another show in that theater at the moment. And it looks like that show is probably not going to make it through the summer. But if they do, then the producers plan to find a different theater for the fall. So that would change the opening date. So I can't really say any more than that because I just don't know.
Are you
going
to be
yes,
changing?
We will be on Broadway in New York City in the early fall.
Are you changing things night to night? I mean,
is
the process about seeing the audience's response or seeing how you're feeling with the material? How do you decide what to cut and change?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, you and I are having, you have told me that this is airing after the show opened, but you and I are now having this conversation before the show opened.
You're in previews.
Right, and I'm in previews now, and during previews, that's what you do. You add a number, you take out a number, you take out a joke if it's not getting laughs. Some things are getting bigger laughs than we expected, so then we expand those movements. And, you know, that's the whole point of doing previews is now you have an audience in front of you, and they are the director. They tell us what stays, what goes. And the reason to do it for 2 months in Chicago is simply because it's a good theater town.
Yeah.
Chicago is a great theater town, and it's a very savvy audience, and they can inform us greatly before we get to Broadway.
Well, you've got a good tradition right now, August Osage County from Chicago on Broadway.
That's right.
As you mentioned, The Adding Machine from Chicago to off-Broadway. So next, Russian on the Side. We'll just help you flesh this puppy out, and then you go to New York, and, you know, that's where people become the stars, you know. we're the good worker city kind of Chicago. We're the good showman city.
That's right. That's right. But I'll tell you something else. The old way of doing it before there was television, of course, was you became a star by playing every single town.
Right.
There was no other way to do it. And that I subscribe to that style of show business. You know, I'm really not a, I mean, if anybody's coming to look at an American Idol type performer, stay home. That's not who I am. It's not what I do. It's I subscribe to the old school of entertainment. You know, every line is either a setup or a punchline, and every song is a great song. I just won't sing a song that is not a great song, and it's not about the showing off my vocal gymnastics. It's about the lyrics, and that's what I do. And part of that is touring all over and getting to know people from all over and using that in the show. A lot of what I do in my shows is audience-related. You know, I talk to the audience. I engage them in conversation. I actually hear response from the audience. It's a little bit Dame Edna that way, except for that I'm not mean.
And your hair's not purple.
Well, now, you haven't met me. You don't know that.
I actually haven't met you.
Yeah, no, my hair is not purple. But you know what? Listen, if we're going to put the vodka IV hookups, I'm willing also to have the purple hair. I don't care what. I'll do what it takes.
This sounds fun. This sounds crazier than YouTube because, you know, that's the new city to city. So I'm all for it. I have my seat and my IV drip all set up. The lovely thing is you can get a shot of Stoli before or any kind of fine Russian drink, but I guess vodka would be the premium Russian drink at the Royal George before you go in. But do not miss, folks, if you're in the city of Chicago or around the vicinity and visiting us, because the show's playing into the Pride Month. Russian on the Side with Mark Nadler is playing Tuesdays through Sundays until June 15th at the Royal George Theater, which is 1641 North Halsted at Halsted and North Avenue. If you would like tickets and information, you can call 312-988-9000 or visit RussianOnTheSideOnline.com. All that will be linked in our show notes, folks, so you don't have to go grab a pen. Just read the show notes on our website. Click through. We'll take you right to buy tickets. I got my seat. You should get yours because it's not often we get a amazing performer like this who is a multi-MAC and Bistro Award winner. It's such an honor to have him start a show here as he's making his way to Broadway. Mark Nadler, enjoy Chicago a little bit between your shows.
It's the greatest city. I love this city.
And thanks for being on.
Amy, thank you for helping me here get people to the show. They'll be glad they came, and you're a delight.
Thanks. Have a great day.
Bye.
Without the least excuse or the slightest provocation, may I fondly introduce for your mental delectation the names that always give my brain concussion. The names of those composers known as Russia. There's Malachevsky, Rubinstein, Arensky, and Tchaikovsky, Zapelnikov, Dmitriev, Cherep, and Krijanovsky, Kudovsky, Artsy, Bushev, Moni, Yusko, Akimeko, Solofiev, Prokofiev, Tiamkin, Koroschenko. There's Linka, Winkler, Bortniansky, Rebikov, Ilyinsky. There's Metner, Balakirev, Zolotanov, and Kochinsky, and Sokolov, and Kopilov, Dukelsky, and Klinovsky, and Shostakovich, Borodinkly, and Novikovsky, and Leonov, and Karkanov, Markievich, Panchenko, and Dargomyski, Sterbachevsky, Yavin, Vasilenko, Stravinsky, Vinsky, Korsakov, Mussorgsky, and Gachanunov, and Glazunov, and Cesar Kwikalinikov, Rachmaninov, Kravinsky and Gretchenov, Rumshinsky and Rachmaninoff. I really have to stop. The subject has been gone to Planinoff. Stravinsky, Gretchenov, Rumshinsky, Rachmaninoff. I really have to stop because we all have undergone enough. Thank you and good night.
Well, Coleman, it's been so great having you on today.
Oh, this has been great. Thank you so much. This has been awesome.
So what do you think about Mariah going down the aisle?
Mariah going down the aisle, I think, is like so, just when I thought she wasn't crazy anymore, she didn't fail me. She just decided to be crazy again, I think, you know, because, you know, she lost all that weight. She was back down to the size that when she came out, you know, she's 20 pounds lighter. And, you know, she wasn't, you know, she was not dressing so much like a whore anymore. You know, usually she has her titties in a bandana,
yeah.
You know, usually, you know, I mean, that was like, that's the most dress that she gets.
She got some in the ghetto going on, don't she?
Yeah, she got some in the ghetto, and she got some, like, I feel like when she gains weight, she just gains it in her titties. Because I can't stop looking at her. She's got the biggest titties of any pop star I've ever seen in my entire life.
I mean, they're not breasts. They're titties.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I know what breasts are, but those are titties. Anyway, enough about her titties. She decided to get married quickly to Nick Cannon.
Yep.
You know, it doesn't, I don't mind, you know, that he's much younger. I mean, I'm dating someone who's much younger. But, you know, although I'm only 22 years old.
Exactly.
Anyway.
And he's barely legal, but that's okay.
Barely legal, exactly. You know, but you know, there's movies made about that. So, but what disturbed me is that the fact that this woman, this multi-millionaire woman, did not sign a prenup.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. No, I'm saying she didn't sign a prenup. She just eloped with this dude. And on top of it, she has a hand-me-down ring.
No.
Nick Cannon gave that ring to the other woman, Sarita, whatever the one was named, the one who he was engaged with before.
The one he's the baby daddy. Ring.
Yeah, the same ring.
Oh, my God.
So she got a hand-me-down ring, and no prenup. Doomed.
Oh.
She's going to be eating out of my garbage can in about 3 months, because that's what happens, you know? The mighty always fall. It's such a shame. It's like, you know, I was all set to buy him a new album and everything, but now I'm just, I can't support that craziness. I can't do that.
Mm-mm.
You didn't get my money. Mm-mm. Not even on iTunes for $9.99. You're not getting it.
Yeah. Are you a fan of her? I mean, do you love her music?
I'm a diehard fan of her. I love her music. I really do.
Yeah.
Although, actually, every album actually kind of sounds very much like the last one.
Well,
but,
that's kind of I'm thinking. I mean, here's my point, and it actually fits in so nicely to this show, because we took you to Graceland earlier in the show, and she broke Elvis's record of top number one hits.
Yeah.
And I walk through Graceland, and I know I'm from Memphis, but I'm actually not a big Elvis fan, like not in the way Kelly is, and probably not in the way people a generation or two above me are, because of my age, you know? He died when I was very young, so I mean, it just doesn't impact me in the same way. Yet, I can walk through Graceland and through his trophy room, and I can go, I know that song, and 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 if we were playing Trivial Pursuit, I could probably name 10 of them. I don't think I can name 10 Mariah Carey songs, and I believe
maybe
I'm
one good one, because the rest of them are just like the other ones, I think.
Yeah, but I mean, I know Hero. I mean, I can name a few,
titties.
But I think it's so shocking that she's beat his record.
Yeah, it's kind of incredible. But, you know, that's all those teenage girls going out to buy, you know. Mariah Carey still has, you know, she's got an album called Charm Bracelet, and she likes butterflies and shit like that. She's getting that, you know, that before Miley Cyrus came along, she was getting Miley Cyrus's money. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
all
I guess.
These kids are out there buying those records and say, oh, she's, you know, she's like me. She likes, you know, little ponies and butterflies. And, you know, she dresses like a baby doll. They don't realize, you know, that she's just like a whore. But, you know, they're like, oh, we like her. Mom, buy me that album. So they're supporting this. And that's why she's broken all those records and, you know,
well, and she has some.
Yeah.
She has some mad vocal skills. I mean,
serious vocal. She's got pipes. Yeah.
Yeah, but can I tell you something? She sucks as a performer. I watched her.
Go ahead.
Watched her on Oprah, and she like my choir teacher in church. Uses her hand to show, like, I'm going down or up on notes.
Going up, I'm going high. Yeah, exactly. And then I hit my, put my hand on my ear because I'm going to hit a high note and it's going to deafen me, apparently.
It's so clinical. It has absolutely no soul to watch her.
That's the weirdest thing.
If you listen to her, she's what I call a great studio artist. Some of them aren't on key. I think she's probably always on key, but she's so awful to watch.
Yeah, horrible.
Ugh.
She's terrible. Terrible.
Girl.
Terrible to watch.
It's going to be a hot mess, isn't it?
It's going to be a hot mess. I mean, it's just like, come on, it's like the beginnings of the hot mess. It's like, what are you doing? Why'd you do that? You can't do things like that. Now watch what happens next. It's like Britney Spears. It's like everyone, they start doing crazy shit. And it's usually started by getting married with somebody crazy, like Whitney with Bobby. I'm going to get married now. I'm going to get married quickly. And then all of a sudden, you know, next thing you know, she's, you know, talking about Nick Cannon pulling doo-doo out of her butt or something. I have no idea. You know, like Whitney with Bobby.
Bobby! Bobby!
Bobby! Bobby! Bobby! Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
we're gonna clean it up in the next show. Our next show, yeah. This Mariah, you may need to listen to our next show because we're gonna have on Courtney Parks, a life coach. And if anybody mm-hmm. needed a life coach, it's probably Mariah Carey. So Coleman,
Mariah, I love you. If you're listening, I love you. Just call in.
Call in and listen to our next show.
Listen to the next one, yeah.
Coleman, thanks for going from Broadway to Memphis and back again with me this show.
Thank you so much, Amy. It's been my pleasure.
Maybe there's no obligations now. Maybe I'm a reason to believe we all...
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming. Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, Amy Wooten, news editor, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.